Got Andrew. Keith.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
So we are starting and recording. Hopefully it works again. The only thing was, one of the questions that we got from the website was, how come all you guys are in little tiny boxes instead of the way we're normally used to seeing it? So I'm trying. I think it was because of being in speaker mode. So I'm trying to put it in speaker view now on my screen, because I usually have it in gallery mode. So hopefully that works.
And we can put it on speaker view too.
Okay, I mean, that's cool. I think it's the recording computer.
Oh.
At least when we're not recording in the cloud, because I'm recording locally.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I always did it in the cloud.
Yeah.
You know. So,
but we can't do that with the free one. So.
Yeah.
But it's all good. I mean, it worked well last time, and it went up on YouTube and everything. But that was one of the things that came in from the website, was how come you guys are in little squares? So.
Oh, well. If you don't like little squares, you're not going to like Zoom.
Yeah. So. Hopefully with speaker view, we'll no longer be in little squares. We'll see. I don't know.
Well, you know, I was thinking that people asking questions, they should ask a bigger question at the beginning so they don't get cut off. You know, because that thing, I noticed it cut off last week at 38 minutes, didn't quite get 40 minutes.
Yeah, because I signed on a little earlier last time. This time I tried to make it so that it was like right at 7. It was actually at 7:14, so...
Okay.
Yeah. It'll cut off at 7:54.
Can you finish that last sentence from last week?
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, it was Rami's question, but I don't see Rami today. Maybe he didn't like being cut off, so he said, oh, forget this. We're showing up this week.
Indeed.
Well, there's Trish.
Yeah. Hello. I'm having trouble getting on.
Oh, sorry. Hello, hello.
Hello.
You have to go back to that original email for me. I just clicked on the link that John sent.
Yeah, I finally got it. I figured it out.
Well, you can go, if you go to the website of Spontaneous
Devotion.net.
That'll bring you to the website, and then it's a permanent link on the website now.
So okay.
That'll hopefully work.
I'll do that tomorrow.
Yes.
Next Tuesday.
Is that link going to stay where it is?
Yes. Yeah. Right. And also, when right after the recording, because we're not emailing all the people anymore, if you go to the website, spontaneousdevotion.net, you'll see where it says, like, last week was March, I guess, 9th, and this week will be March 16th. You can click on that and download it. And that should be like an hour after we finish. It'll be up on YouTube and there as well. So
I noticed last week it was on YouTube very quickly.
Yeah, because it's a local recording now. And the only thing that the local recording has to do, it says it's processing it or whatever, and then boom, it turns into an MP4, and I just shoot it up to YouTube.
Okay, it was pretty quick, I remember, because I think I listened to it again the same evening after we, you know, talked. I noticed it was on YouTube, so I listened to it again.
Cool, good, good. One of the questions also that we got in, aside from why are we all in little tiny squares and not a full screen, was a doubt about mantra. It said there's some doubts about mantra. It wasn't specific, just said doubts about mantra. The only thing I would say with any doubt, and like Maharaj says, you are the answer to all questions. So remaining with your selfless self is going to remove all doubt and all question. And when I'm entertaining anything with the mind, then questions, I'm using mind, ego, intellect, which by nature will cause questions and will put qualities on things that are actually without quality. So any doubt can be removed just by remaining with your selfless self. And you could say through the mind, you could say, oh, well, how is that possible? Well, because when you remain with your selfless self, there is nothing. It's like a black hole that sucks in all the questions, that sucks in all the doubt. So if I give these doubts or I give these questions to mind, ego, intellect, then intellect wants to figure it out. It wants to use logic. It wants to make sense of what's being said based on only what is already known. Does this tally with what I've read? Does this tally with what I've been taught, what I've learned, what this master said, what that master said? But remaining with your selfless self removes all doubt and removes all question. So if I have a doubt about mantra or master or whether my spirituality is working, remain with my selfless self, and this doubt will be no more. And that's why Maharaj says, you are the answer to all the questions. This question of who am I is not to be answered with who am I as in what am I, or try to logically figure it out. I give it to my mind. My mind wants to know who am I based on all my previous experiences or all the body-based knowledge. But remaining with selfless self, it erases ego, intellect, mind, body, world, knowledge, everything. It's like a black hole that just pulls in all of these unnecessary qualities on that that is without quality. That's your own selfless self. And then there is no question. And then if for some reason a question comes, I say, oh, look at that. My mind has a question as to how do I remain with my selfless self? Well, I don't need to ask this question because I can remain with my selfless self. And this question dissolves. And if there are thoughts that are covering over presence, covering over selfless self, then I know mantra's there to erase slowly, silently, permanently. So once again, I don't give it to mind to try and say, why are these questions? Why are these doubts? Instead, I remain with mantra. Mantra will erase this so that I can just remain with my selfless self. And as I remain with my selfless self, I find there are no questions. There are no doubts. Nothing is there.
Do we even use mantra at that point?
No, mantra would just be if layers of questions or thoughts, ideas are on top of presence. If you're with presence, you just remain with presence.
Right. If you're already there and you can clearly distinguish that, I guess that's my question, is you wouldn't overlay mantra on top of it where there's no problem.
Correct. You're already there with your selfless self. And once you're deep, deep, deep with your selfless self, there can be no thought of mantra or any, because there's just this absolute, just nothing. No thoughts, no ideas about a person, about a world, or how to get rid of the world. There is no world. And that's why then Maharaj says that next, that ultimate is, oh, so that I am that. This very deep nothingness is my own selfless self. There is nothing, and anything that appears on spontaneous presence then is other than myself, which is still myself. It's arising as myself, from myself, as the background of every experience. And yet you just remain. So something's happening in the world about you that you're seeing. Okay, you're seeing a world. Something seems very disturbing. Remain with selfless self. If you're unable to remain with selfless self, with like consciousness with consciousness, then mantra, because there's an idea that there's a thought flow that needs to have attention, which usually is through a body identification, because all thoughts came along with the body. So then now I remain. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says, remain with I am and all the secrets will be open, because there will be no more figuring it out. Mind, ego, intellect came along with the body. Everything that's in mind is a body-based experience, and I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain body. So just die. Nothing. Just soul.
I have noticed that my thinking mind wants to find a connection, you know, between cause and effect of the mantra and how I feel. But when I do mantra, and it, a lot of times it doesn't seem like it's doing anything. But it somehow. I don't know what to call it, connections with self arise out of the blue. And I don't, it's not like a direct kind of cause and effect. Usually it's not. Occasionally I feel like sort of self with self almost connected to the mantra, but a lot of times it just, like I said, it comes out of the blue, and I don't know what else to attribute it to other than having been doing the mantra. And sometimes like I'll like more and more I seem to be getting a connection with self, but sometimes I'll go like 2 weeks and I'll feel just like my same old stupid self, but then out of the blue I'll start feeling like not like connected to the thoughts anymore, or whatever, any thoughts, just kind of free. So I don't know what else to attribute it to other than the mantra.
Yeah, it's like a muscle in the gym. The more you exercise, the more you remain with your selfless self, the more your mind is kind of trained. Oh, we turn towards selfless self. Because you use attention through mind. So you're like, oh, selfless self. Instead of going outwards to all the world. And the more you remain with your selfless self, that's the selfless self intoxication, where I would rather remain with my selfless self than to dance out in the objects of the world. It's just more natural feeling, actually, than to go and chase objects, or to go and chase mind, or, you know, chase thoughts through mind or whatever. And that's how they talk about, like, the mind now knows the master is home. The master is back in the house. So there's no more tricking. You know, Maharaj says the mind is very, very tricky mind. It's biting you from the backside. There's no more tricks when the mind knows the master is here. There's nothing the mind can do, because now you know all. This mind, I'm giving power to this mind. When I chase thoughts, I'm giving this mind kind of fuel with my attention and my belief. Oh, look at these thoughts. These thoughts are so covering me, and oh, what to do? I'm lost. No, you're not lost. Because in reality, you're formless. So the activities that the mind says that you're lost in, it are not yours.
And that actually, it just occurred to me that I was thinking about humbleness lately. And if I'm questioning something or depending on the mind for giving me answers to know what being here is or something, it's really antithetical to humbleness, because you're putting something like saying that it is some certain way, or your thoughts want to come up with a certain way that that it knows things are, and that it's automatically biased, and it can't really be humble anymore. Humbleness to me is like it's like a openness to being kind of selfless, whereas thoughts are always self-oriented.
Well, you know, the most humble thing you can, I do not exist. Yeah. That's pretty humble.
Right.
You know, that's about as humble as you can be. I do not exist. And I practice I do not exist by remaining with myself the self, because this I is the entire world, is everything.
And also, nothing exists the way I think it does, because I is involved. So as long as you're thinking things exist a certain way, in a particular way or anything, then I is involved. And
I is formless.
Well, I mean the ego I.
I is formless, though. When we say I, we assume that I is this body with the label of Keith. But this is not true. I is formless. Appearing as all the forms.
Uh-huh.
I is not the individual I. I is the sensation of existence, or I am. But it's not I am as a body. I am is known through body, but is not a body. And that's why remaining with your selfless self, there's nothing. This, how can there be like actions and doership and people and... There's nothing. Everything is appearing on this nothing that you are. I is not individual I. I is the original sense of existence that appeared to you, that existed, but had no knowledge of existence. And the knowledge of existence came along with the body, because that was the first time that the knowingness was formed of, I know I exist. But that you are, that knows that you exist, was there prior, because we say very carefully, you can, even if you have to think intellectually, you are prior to every experience. No experience you can have without a you to have it, including the sense of existence. The sense of existence had to appear to someone. That's why they talk about the sleep. You go to sleep and deep sleep and then come out the other side. Well, when who wakes up in the morning? That you are, to whom wakefulness has appeared. If you weren't there, then there would be no sensation of, I am waking up. It's not possible. Just like if you were not there, and that's why Maharaj uses example of knock, knock on the door. Who's there? Nobody's there, but somebody had to be there to say nobody's there, and that you are.
So nothing's ever been at stake, I guess, truly, from that perspective, like from the perspective of my true nature, this, everything I thought, this whole drama, it's made of me, but it's not ultimately me. Or the,
you know,
like the eye that came before that witnesses the birth and death of Jordan, that knows that was at peace before and will be at peace after and has been in peace. It's been covered with, I like what Ramakant says about removing the ash, like the fire's there, but it's just these layers of ash we're removing it. That's a big one for me, is issues with like, all these questions around is there an independent world, kind of like you just covered, saying there's no even world, that's just a label for a thing that's just manifested in this being. And I like, well, is there a different world for John and Keith and Kathleen? Like, that's what I wonder about. Is there like an independent world from this like perspective that we look at it, or is it just all we know in our direct experience, which is just, for me, would be a label for this globe in the universe?
Because you believe yourself to be an object, you see other objects. In reality, all objects are appearing within the formlessness that you are. There's no individuality at all. There's the appearance of individuality due to identification with a body. And that's why when you remain with your selfless self, how can that be individual? And even this idea of individuality dissolves, whether I'm individual or whether I'm duality or non-duality or formless or with form, I remain with my selfless self, and all this dissolves. Only when I'm trying to figure out through mind, ego, intellect, is there a logical trying to figure out, trying to label, trying to have an understanding, trying to basically imagine, and there's no imagination. Remain with my selfless self, and there's no questions. And even the question that was asked previously about, well, how do I know that's myself? Well, there's nothing other than this. Like, and again, how do I know that's myself? If I remain with my selfless self, this question won't arise. Because this self that I am is prior to body. Mind came along with the body. Mind tries to intellectualize, conceptualize, figure things out, place things in a logic fashion, cause and effect. Remaining with your selfless self, this will not be there. No doubts. No questions. No what happens after I die. This question also is dissolved in that. There's nothing. And that's why Maharaj stresses meditation so much, because meditation is this concentrator remaining with yourself. Consciousness with consciousness, presence with presence, with no medium of body, mind, ego, intellect, just direct experience of your own selfless self.
I was listening to one of the recordings that I have from the satsangs of Ranjit, and you know, what you're saying, I think he said it too. He said, basically, you have to put an end to knowledge. It'll just keep going on and on and on and on. Yeah, it'll just, it's just endless. you know, you have to put a zero on it.
Yes.
Like a virus.
True, yeah.
Yes. And not trying to be anything, just remaining with your selfless self. Because all the books, all the knowledge, all the everything was so that you would know, oh, you're formless. Now you have this direct experience with yourself. Oh, so that I am that. No more questions. No more doubts. And doubts, just remain with your selfless self. Because it's literally like the black hole that just sucks in all the questions, all the doubts. Who am I? What happens when I die? Well, you know, how am I this way? How do I know I'm formless? Is there an actual me? What happens to me when I die? Are there thoughts when I die? Is there karma? No. It's a black hole that sucks in all of this intellectualization, egoistic thinking, duality, non-duality, teachers, masters. Just remain with your selfless self.
Selfless self is that sense of existence, no label on it, right? Simple being, like, that's so obvious. What's crazy about this stuff is how, on one hand, it seems complex, but it's just so ridiculously simple. Like, it's, I don't know, like a principle that I just wasn't aware of the power of, or I overlooked. I never stopped to actually investigate, like, what's processing everything. Like, I just believe that conditioned the story. Yeah, incredible.
Yes, and we've been conditioned to use our mind to discover. That's a very key thing too. Until we go to Master, and Master says, "Oh no! Toss aside this mind. Toss aside this knowledge. This body you are not." We've been conditioned since little children that when you need to solve a problem, you figure it out. You go to mind. In school, we're taught logical thinking, how to process, problem solving. And in the reality, you're never going to get, and that's why Maharaj says, through body-based existence, you know, the body-based understanding, you will never reach your selfless self. Because that's how I would do it. I would say, okay, selfless self. First off, what does that mean exactly? And mind starts figuring it out. And then it's okay, I'm supposed to remain with selfless self, but how do I know that selfless self, which if I don't know what selfless self is, how in the world can I remain with it? Because, and you get lost. And then it's like, okay, now I want to discover, and I listen to one master's teaching. Ah, okay. But then mind is hungry for more. So I go and I listen to another master's teaching, and then mind sits there and says, oh, you know, this doesn't tally with that. So which one is correct? And I spend all this time searching when I could just remain with my selfless self. All questions would be solved because there are no questions. You are the answer. So remain. And now I can certainly read, like Maharaj says, read spiritual books and enjoy, but don't try to find yourself in them or find the knowledge in them. Just read, okay, it's for entertainment, it's good. And even it's devotional because, you know, the recognition and the projection. Oh, you read the reader, Maharaj says. And so I'm not searching anymore because I'm not using my mind on this spiritual journey, because mind came along with the body. And quite frankly, it can't give me anything except body-based knowledge. Master gives me direct experience by pointing to the fact that Selfless self is self without self. Mantra erases thoughts slowly, silently, and permanently. The fire is burning under the ash. The ash is removed. Fire is there. Now, enjoy the fire. Sit around the fire. Just marinate in it. And that's it. And my mind says, well, what about the world? If I sit there and I remain with myself as self, how will my worldly activities be done? Well, you were doing them all the time. There's no doer, there's no deed. Just like if the child in the womb were to suddenly say, how am I being fed today? Oh man, I know the tube of food was processing yesterday, but what if it doesn't process today? And as I'm growing, my arm doesn't look long enough. It's not growing fast enough. My hands, no, there was none of that because there was no self-awareness. You weren't aware of yourself as something other. And once you became aware of yourself as something other, then suddenly you thought, now, who's going to take care of me? And what's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? And oh, I'm hungry. Is food coming? And this is... And all because the sense of existence came along with the body. As Maharaj says, spirit clicked with the body and you said, I. And in that moment of I, a world around you, you as an object viewing a world from this perception, this wrong files, as Maharaj says, were acquired through mind of me experiencing a world outside of myself because I consider myself an object. And from this wrong perception, I build memories. And I start to basically build a library with which I'm going to reference on every occasion. And now Maharaj says, burn the library to the ground. All your knowledge, throw it away. Remain with your selfless self. Maharaj says, everything that you've done has brought you here. And that's why he talks about the map. Oh, where is Nashik Ashram? Where is Nashik Ashram? And you're looking at the map. But now you've reached your destination. Burn the map. You don't need to look at this map anymore. You're here. The map was good to get you here, but now you're here. And that is the same. Now you remain with your selfless self. No more questions, no more doubts. Just remain with your selfless self. Go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Because I think it's Nisargadatta Maharaj that says, if there is still a meditator, then more meditation is needed. Because the meditator dissolves in the meditation, the concentrator dissolves in the concentration, and nothing is there.
The one sentence I remember from Amrit Laya 3, it really stuck with me, and I don't remember anything else coming out. I mean, I probably could if I really, you know, these things come out of the blue, you know, like sometimes you remember something, but, you know, I woke up this morning and I got up at 4 and I just laid in the bed and just so many memories from my past going through my mind. And, you know, all of a sudden I remembered the sentence from Amrit Laya where Siddha Ramesh Buddha says, do not remember anything.
There you go. Because anything that can be remembered came along with the body through the perspective of being an experiencer, having an experience. And the ultimate, as Maharaj says, no experiencer, no experience, no witness, no witnesser, nothing. And no witnesser is they're seeing, but there's no identification of a seer seeing, there's just seeing. The same as witnessing a sunset, it's just there, you see it. Oh, you're not deliberately witnessing the sunset or participating in the sunset. Something is just occurring and they're seeing, but there's not a specific seer. Nor does there need to be. There doesn't need to be some kind of an adjective for the seer. Oh, who's the seer? No, there's seeing. Space using form to see within itself. And we now have 2 minutes left, so we don't like abruptly shut off last time, like Kathleen said. Suddenly we just all disappeared. It was like...
We need a timekeeper.
Well, I've got Alexa over here who is, I can see the.
Oh, okay, good.
It's really strange. My computer still says 7:16 p.m. Wonder why.
7:16?
Yeah, it's stuck. Oh.
Indeed. Well, time is nothing.
I'm the only one though. 7:16. I'll remain in 7:16.
It's Groundhog Day all over again.
Yeah. I'm at 4:53.
Yeah. Oh wow, yeah.
Spent a lot of time.
3 hours difference.
Yeah. All right, well, it'll be cutting off shortly, so say Jai Guru.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.